I can't think of a better way of seeing out the year than by welcoming back to Static and to Australia, Bob Moses. Tom and Jimmy, welcome in.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's always nice to see you guys, and you time this pretty well to get Australian summer in most of the time for Bob Moses touring, don't you?
Yeah, we try to chase the sun, as we say.
Yeah, escape the winter.
And for a band who's only had two proper albums out, you've certainly squeezed in a lot of trips here now.
Yeah, we have. I mean, we've been coming here, I think our first time was New Year's 2014 into 15, and I think since then we've been here at least four or five times, so... It's always great to be back in Australia.
It's a pretty special place as well. Tom, you met your wife at a festival here, so
yes,
there's a huge significance for you with Australia.
Home away from home, sort of. I feel like it's definitely one of the places that feels more like home than most of the other places.
You're just timing in these summer shows now to get a free trip in for Christmas, right?
Exactly.
You can see the relatives and get it out
you
of the
got
way.
You got me pegged.
Because Australia's been fortuitous for Bob Moses in a number of ways. You guys have cemented your friendship with Rufus Du Sol and done some shows with them both here. And it was great to see a bunch of dates in America this year as well. It must be fascinating for you guys to watch your Australian friends blow up over there.
It's great, man. I mean, like, you know, we've been friends for a couple of years now. We originally met in Coachella 2016 when we both played there. And, you know, immediately became fast friends. And so we've had the chance to play with them all over the world. They're great guys, great band. And anytime we get a chance to hang with them, it's always awesome.
I saw you did Red Rocks with them in Colorado, which is a pretty iconic place as well.
Yeah, that's like definitely my favorite venue on earth to play.
Did you take your Bono flag to wave around during the set or anything, Tom?
No, but I should have done that.
Yeah. we need more Bono flags on the writer, I think.
Yeah.
Well, they're touring arenas in Australia at the moment, so who knows, maybe in another 20 years that's where Bob Moses will be at, the Sydney Cricket Ground.
Hope so.
We can do you guys a booking.
Yeah.
And you've, of course, been on the road for a long time now off the back of Battle Lines. It's amazing we haven't spoken to you since that record came out. It's well over 12 months old.
Yeah, I mean, we started touring it back in August. We did a promo run and then got straight. Our tour bus pulled up to the Ellen DeGeneres show. We did the Ellen DeGeneres show, got on the bus, and then left for tour. And basically, since then, have basically been nonstop.
Haven't looked back since Ellen, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. We do a pretty good job of, like, just never stopping touring.
Did you guys go into making that record with a better idea of how it would be played out live after you'd done so much touring on the first Bob Moses album?
Yeah, we've always been influenced by what we do live. I think when we made our first record, we were playing a lot of raves and sort of warehouse stuff and clubs, and that really influenced the sound. And then the first album took us to bigger stages and festivals, and we started playing with a drummer and more live instrumentation, and that really influenced the sound of Battle Lines. And I think we've kind of always really kept our toes in the water, so to speak, playing live, because that sort of feels where we get a lot of our inspiration from. So they both definitely influence each other, and the live arena does big time.
If you're playing less raves now, is there less desire to put air horns and stuff like that on a record?
I mean, definitely. I still have the desire to hit the air horn button, but I try to restrain myself. It's very difficult.
So was there any pressure when it came time to start making Battle Lines?
I mean, I think, here's the thing, I think, with making music. If you want to find pressure, if you're looking for it, you can find it. The trick is to just not let it exist and just try and remind yourself why you make music. And it's ultimately like, it's what we've always done, and it's sort of about connecting with people. If we can do for people what our favorite bands have done for us, which is sort of when you're alone listening in your room and you feel connected to this bigger thing, I think, you know, that's the thing that we care about the most, is having that impact. So if you just sort of tune into that and don't tune into any of these sort of outside things that like didn't matter when you were first making music, you're fine, you know?
You go for a walk around the block or something if you start to feel the fear creeping in.
Yeah. I mean, that touring helps with that. I think touring helps you not get so isolated in the studio where you start to drive yourself a bit crazy.
Totally. It's nice to keep, because, you know, if you tour, we've always toured a lot while we make records too, and it's good to like try things out and just be in that different environment. And I think there's always pressure to be found, like Jimmy said, and it's just about trying to stay true to what you're set out to do in the first place, you know?
I guess you can always ask yourself, what would Bono do as well, you know, when you have that moment?
Exactly.
he might say something political, and we've learned not to do that.
Well, that said, I mean, the songs lyrically, especially on Battle Lines, address the disconnect between couples or relationships, and there's a lot of that. Songs like the title track and Nothing But You. So did the writing, the lyrics and themes come easy as well? Did you have a clearer idea for Battle Lines?
I think that we were outward looking a lot more on that record than we were on the first one. You know, being Canadians but living in America and going through what was happening with the presidential election and all the division in the country politically, as well as like the whole Me Too thing, and like there was a lot of that in the world, and so that sort of influenced the writing in a big way and sort of made us explore what it is within us and within our interpersonal relationships that we all share that cause this sort of discord on a grand scale. And so it was inward looking in a big way, but also outward looking, and sort of like trying to reconcile those two perspectives.
Tom, do you see couples in the crowd singing these lyrics of doubt and distrust to each other as well when you're playing shows?
I don't know if they're singing them to each other. I see a lot of people singing them along with me, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it, I think that it's a lot of the people in the crowd are singing them sort of to themselves and together, and sort of like finding common ground in the messages and sort of being in there in a big group with everybody, you know. I've never seen like two couples singing like a
yeah, that's
that'd song be a new about one. Discord.
A hate song to each other.
Yeah, although I'd like, that'd be cool to see. But.
I mean, yeah, a lot of the things times we write about as well, or things that we write about, it's like, you know, not necessarily, maybe we would use like a more two people to sort of describe a situation that actually is much bigger. So like with a song like Back Down, we've kind of like taken a microscope to look on a situation that actually is maybe more political or maybe a bigger far-reaching thing. And so for us, it's just we try to write what we know or try to write about the things that affect us personally.
It must have been a powerful learning curve as well to see the effect you could have as a live band when you started playing these bigger stages and have people singing these songs back at you.
Yeah, totally. I think that we've always like approached lyric writing as a very personal thing and a very sort of cathartic thing. And I think it's very interesting to realize after going through one record that, you know, a lot of people really get touched by the lyrics and they mean something to them. And I think we tried to really write lyrics that were effective but also open. Like a lot of people, like, you know, and I do this with songs and I'm sure everybody does, like you kind of take the lyrics on as your own thing and fit them to your life. And so I think we try to make our lyrics work and be fairly obvious sometimes what it's about, but also sort of a bit nuanced, so that it could be about a love relationship, or it could be about a relationship with a family member or a friend, or it could be about a relationship with your society or like a group of people that you feel like you do or don't belong to. And so we try to do that, and I think it's really nice to see that people take them on as their own and like make them meaningful in their own lives.
That must be a fun thing as well in Bob Moses, having people come up to you with their interpretations.
Oh, it happens
what a song
a lot.
Is about.
And you know what? No one's wrong. That's the thing. It's like if that's what it means to you, then that's awesome.
That's what they teach you in school as well. Like, no one's wrong.
Yeah,
everyone's
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
It seems you've also kept moving. Now, I'm not 100% sure about this, but are you both now based in LA?
I've been in New York since we started touring, which I haven't actually spent any time there. But I am coming back to LA, and Tom's been in LA since we made the last record.
Because that's three cities this band's kind of existed in now.
I know.
You were born in Vancouver and formed the band in New York and have now moved to LA. So
yeah. It's interesting. You know, we made the last record in LA, and like Jimmy said, we've been, you know, it's more like where our stuff lives because we travel so much in the last year and a bit. So we've done some writing already in, you know, Stockholm and been in Berlin. And I think like the place that we are, we kind of just try and find our own little section of and make it home. And touring so much has made us pretty good at that. And I think we're also pretty good at that creatively as well, just sort of being in a, you know, this studio could be anywhere. And so long as we can like find a vibe there, we can find a way to get to express ourselves, you know.
You've been here enough now, I think we should plant the seed. What about doing album number 3 in Australia?
I wouldn't be
just
mad with
stay
that.
On
yeah,
there you go.
I mean, it's the weather's beautiful down here, there's some great food and the vibe's awesome. It's actually not so dissimilar from Vancouver. Like it basically just feels like Vancouver with nicer weather, so
yeah, basically.
Let's put it on the table anyway, we'll see what happens. For now, it's so great to have Bob Moses back in Sydney playing tonight at the Metro Theatre, which will be awesome, and it's off the back of this huge package of remixes of songs from Battle Lines that's been done. For now, we might have a listen to, this is a real achievement, I reckon, a Lindstrom and Prince Thomas re-rub of Nothing But You. You guys can definitely chalk this up.
Awesome, thank you.
As an achievement. It's so great to have you back here, Tom and Jimmy. We'll see you back in Australia in another few months, I'm sure.
I hope so.
This is Bob Moses now in Static, and have a good show tonight.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Follow this suit.